This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
Welcome to the next to last letter in the alphabet for a common humanity primer. For a Jesus human that particularizes who Jesus is at the same time, seeks to build a broader humanity for the world in which we live. This letter, Y, is the favorite letter of followers of Pythagoras because they use this letter, Y, and its diverging branches as an illustration of a choice between a life of leisure and uselessness, if you will, and a life of learning and usefulness. Or how did Paul put it? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So with all our education, are we huffing and puffing, or are we bodybuilding and love lifting? And the choice of what, where you go in that diverging branch in that letter Y will determine whether we have life or death. Because when you're out of love, you're out of life. When you're out of love, you are dead to humanity. Now, one fruit of the Spirit is, to be sure, knowledge. But knowledge in the biblical sense is not information or data, it's not iotas or facts, it's not anything you find on the TV game show Jeopardy. Biblical knowledge is a knowing that comes from up close and personal relationships with someone or something. In fact, the way to know more about anything is not to detach yourself from it, which is what we've learned in the critical method, but is to deepen your experience of it. In fact, the fall of the first humans was the choice of knowledge over knowing, cognition over relationship. And that's why yada, the Hebrew word for knowledge, I think is best translated knowing. Yada is used 950 times in the Hebrew scriptures. But it's a relationship word that means knowing from the inside out. Like Jesus knows us from the inside out. He knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone, says the Bible. Nathanael asked Jesus, "Where did you get to know me?" The many times mishandled Samaritan woman who encountered Jesus at Jacob's well could not help but tell everyone about the first male in her life who knew her beauty from the inside out. Or in the exact words, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." So we have a distinction here. It's kind of the fork in the road between knowledge and knowing. Knowledge is to write about grace. Knowing is to write grace. Knowledge is to write about beauty. Knowing is to write beautifully. The difference between yada as knowledge, as we know it, and knowing as the true meaning of yada is for me symbolized in the two highlighted trees in our birth and downfall story, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life represented knowing God and breathing God's daily presence. The tree of knowledge of good and evil represented our attainment of divine knowledge that could rationalize the presence of evil in a good world. Our choice to pursue knowledge over knowing is what led to our broken relationships with God, ourselves, each other, and creation. It also led to our universal failure in every time and place to understand the meaning of evil and suffering, and to make theodicy, what is the nature of evil, the most intractable of all philosophical dilemmas, partly because we still choose knowledge over knowing. Knowledge is control. Knowing involves being known, which is the essence of vulnerability itself. So true yada, true knowing, requires humility. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. The ultimate in yada is in some ways nada, the Spanish word for nothing. A Jesus human always wants to know more, even though they know the impossibility of ever really knowing anything on an ultimate level. So the ultimate knowledge is knowing that we are totally dependent on God. True yada is the awareness that apart from God, we are nada. Apart from God, we are yada nada. The illusion of omniscience is when you don't know what you don't know. And that's the most dangerous place to be, is to know what you don't know, but you don't know it. There's also the knowing of not knowing what you already know. We all know more than we know. The most important thing we know that we don't know we know until someone tells us we know it is this: Jesus is Lord. When somebody tells you that, you already know it inside of you, but you need somebody to tell you that you know it, or else you don't know it. When I was growing up, one of the most classic lines in the history of television was from Sergeant Schultz in the Hogan's Heroes. Anybody remember that? I know nothing. That was Sergeant Schultz's signature snort. I know nothing. It's a shorthand version of the Socratic paradox, which highlights one of the most insightful principles in the history of philosophy. The only true wisdom consists of knowing that you know nothing. In other words, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. One of the strangest political parties in the U.S., I've always been fascinated by this party, wanted to do a little article on them one day, was the Know Nothing Party of the 1850s. It was a strange mixture. They had progressivism and populism, which is one of the reasons why I think it's so relevant today. They opposed slavery, promoted women's rights, supported workers' rights and labor unions, government regulation of key industries, they were in favor of. At the same time, they were anti-Catholic, anti-Masonic, anti-immigration, anti-alcohol. They were a forerunner of the temperance movement. The Know Nothing Party got its name from the standard response of members when asked what the party stood for. I know nothing. It was a secrecy oath. But there are degrees of knowing nothing. You can still know something and basically know nothing. For a Jesus human, knowing that something is a big thing. This one thing I know. And that's Jesus the Christ. Knowing one thing was a constant refrain from the mouth of the greatest theologian in the history of Christianity. This is the name Paul. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except one thing: Jesus Christ and him crucified. I count not myself to know nothing, but this one thing I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In my own autobiography, my story of knowing, when I first went to school, I thought I knew it all. Knowledge was be all and end all. Then I realized I knew nothing. The more I knew, the more I knew there was to know, and I didn't know it. Now I know little about lots because my mind sets on the one thing that opens the door to all things, which is Jesus. When we put on the mind of Christ and open ourselves to the circuitry of the Spirit, our minds and spirits are constantly renewed by the one who knows everything. The Spirit can dispense knowledge and wisdom at will and to whomever. And intellectual ability is just one good among many. It's not the prime good. So biblical knowing, yada, a yada human, that kind of knowing is not abstract or distancing, but embracing and embodying. When you truly know God, you conceive Christ for the world. When you know anything, when Adam knew Eve, they conceived. When God knew God, God conceived the universe. When you know something, truly know in a yada sense, you conceive. And when you know God, you conceive Christ for the world. One of the most incredible statements Jesus ever made, and I want to do a whole book with just this two-word title, is in the walk to Emmaus, one of the disciples says to Jesus, when Jesus is just kind of walking alongside them, comes alongside them, enters into their conversation, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem and doesn't know about these things?" And Jesus says, this is incredible, so stop back for a minute, slow it down. What things? Now, he has just conquered sin and death. He's just done the greatest thing in the history of civilization. He's just conquered evil, destroyed Satan and Satan's power over sin and death. If I've done that, I'm coming back on a high horse and going everywhere saying, da-da, look at what I've done. Da-da. And Jesus, who has just accomplished the greatest feat in all of human history, when confronted with, you don't know what we're talking about? And Jesus says, he plays dumb. What things? Because something was more important than Jesus pointing to what he had done. He wanted to hear them tell his story and hear conversations were more important. Knowing them was more important than the knowledge of what he had done. What things? Sisters and brothers, we've got to learn as yada humans to be able to say, even when we think we know it, what things? And remember, you know that little song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? There's another way of singing it. Jesus knows me, this I love. Jesus is what makes you a yada human. He knows you. And we love that he knows us.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. This episode contains notes and thoughts from Jesus Human, Primer for Common Humanity, Dr. Leonard Sweet's latest book, which can be found on Amazon.com. Remember, Napkin Scribbles is brought to you by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet, happy scratching and scribbling.